Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Earlier in the show, we heard about the world premiere on offer at the Milwaukee Rep this weekend. A world premiere on a slightly less grand scale also opens tonight in a space in the Third Ward. MKE Carries is the work of a two-year-old group called Cooperative Performance Milwaukee, and it's born from the improv tradition. The script was not written ahead of time, but rather evolved over the course of rehearsals with input from everyone involved. Nevertheless, there is a playwright compiling and refining what audiences will experience. That is Fly Steffens, who joined us in the studio, along with founder and director Neil Easterling and performer Juan Blasquez. Easterling tells Lake Effect's Bonnie North more about the unique group behind the performance.
We're in our first full season this year, fully produced. We've done a couple of single productions, and we did Hamlet at Villa Terrace for our first full production, which happened two summers ago. We've done some smaller stuff. Our organization is a producing theater, but we're built on a cooperative model. So we are owned by the artist and the patrons. And we are a not-for-profit cooperative, mostly because arts funding, you can't really find it unless you're not-for-profit, but we're trying to find the balance between the two ideas. So we're owned by the artists who do the shows, and we're also owned by the people who see the shows.
So it's almost like a shareholder thing, except in a cooperative way.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's like you're familiar with cooperatives in electricity and in grocery stores and that sort of thing. And those are what are called consumer cooperatives. There's also something called a worker cooperative. And we're a mixture of those two. Worker cooperatives, the people who work, they own the company. So we're a mixture of the two ideas. We're called a mixed cooperative.
Is this the first time that this has happened with an arts group that you know of?
Certainly in this area in the state of Wisconsin. There are a couple of theater companies that are cooperatives. You need three people to be a cooperative technically. But there's only one other theater that I know of, and it's actually in Tennessee, that's run as a worker cooperative by the actors who do the shows. So we're kind of a brand new model nationally. For this kind of work.
So what are the advantages to both the performers and the audience for setting it up this way?
The advantages really is that we all get a say. It's not a top-down structure. So those who create the art have an opportunity to build art, to make art. The idea for us is that we want to be a place where people can create something new, try something out. So much of theater in general is dependent on ticket sales. And we certainly like ticket sales and we want people to come, and that's important to us. But we wanted to build it so that wasn't our mainstream. That wasn't the main point. It was really about developing work and trying to get artists to have the opportunity to be more than just a specific type. They can be directors. They can be creators. They can be actors. They can be performers. They can be technicians. They can be all of those things. And for the audience member, you actually get to vote on our season. The way we work is that artist members can submit projects to our season selection, and then the audience and everybody who's there votes on what shows we do. So say we get 10 projects that want to go up. The audience and our patron members and our artist members vote on the top five. They send that to the board, and the board picks as many as they can so far as financial capabilities go. And so you actually get a hand in shaping that.
That's very cool. I like that.
Thank
as an
you.
Audience where, you know, usually the audiences are receptive. You know, it's like whatever people put out there, you vote with whether you pay for it or not, whether you go or not.
Right.
That's how you vote. But this is nice that you get to vote ahead of time, you know.
Absolutely.
So, all right. So Fly and Juan, are you part of the original cooperative? How did you get involved in this?
Neil and I know each other from working around in the theater community, and we had been looking for a long time on a project to work together on. And when the season selection was coming up, Neil called me up and said that he had an idea for a devised piece and would I like to join in? And I said, hey, that sounds pretty neat. Let's go for it. So I've sort of been with Neil from the beginning on this project.
Yeah, for me, I found out about Neil through a friend. I gave him a call on a Sunday, and he said, hey, stop by tomorrow, we'll talk about it. He explained me over the phone a little bit about the project, and I wasn't really sure I understood it right away. And I think I understood it more as the process went along. It was a great process because it was a lot of discoveries, a lot of interactions, improvisation, a lot of talking, conversations. So I have loved the process, and I didn't know about it, about this company until recently, and I was very, very excited to find out about it, and it's been definitely a great process because everyone is a part of it in a way that they all contribute and collaborate. We all worked together, and it has been definitely a great experience.
So we're talking about this specific project. Mm-hmm. So let's get into that. This is five stories that are being told simultaneously. So explain to me how this is all going to work and what people can expect when they come in to hear and see this.
Well, I mean, from a playwriting standpoint, I mean, that's been my input on the project is as a playwright. And I tend to think of scripts as a map in the sense that you have something on a 2D surface that you read, that you see, and then when you look up, that's what you can expect to find in the space. And it's interesting because when you make a map, you look at something and write it down. And the traditional sense of making a play, the map is already in front of you. But we actually kind of went full circle in the sense of we have a thing that we've been making in the room, improvising and devising in the room with the actors and the director and the writer, and then making a play and then putting that up. So we actually, in the sense of these five characters, they each have their own timeline in the course of a day. And then we had to physically map out on the floor with a bunch of moving parts and note cards and kind of like this homemade giant 20-foot long Excel spreadsheet of what their days were and where they interacted. And so during the course of the evening of the performance, an audience member will experience a day in the life of a Milwaukeean over the course of an hour of performance. And the performance is 3 hours long, and so the day itself loops three times, actually. So a three-hour-long performance, and you have an opportunity to see these different moments of these people's lives in the space.
So you can follow different people.
Yes.
if you during the course of the performance, because it loops that many times, and then you can see how they interact. Oh, that's very cool. So it's like, it becomes, there's almost like a fourth dimension of time in there too, as well as the 3D.
Absolutely. I mean, time is actually one of the things that we play a lot with in this show. It's something that I've kind of been fascinated by as an artist, the idea of time and how we can manipulate time. We see it all the time in film where they'll slow down time, create time, that sort of stuff. And you'll even see things where time is juxtaposed in weird ways in film, but we don't do it a lot in live performance. And something that I'm kind of fascinated with is how does that kind of mechanism work in live performance? And in this particular show, each of the five characters has a slightly different timeline. Like, they're not operating within the same 24 hours necessarily, but they overlap in certain time periods. And there's also physically, the actors are slowing down time when they move. So there's actually movement sections where they go into what we call slow tempo that accent moments. And this play is particularly cast around the idea of objects and how we can tell the full story of Milwaukee through the small scale. So the individual objects that we carry with us every day, the things that are in our pockets, the things that we discard, the things that we acquire, why, how. And so their interactions are based off of the objects that they touch and they share and they don't or they discard. And we, in some places, accent that by slowing time down and time. And they're we're putting clocks all over the space, sort of reinforcing that idea. But yeah, time is a massive element in the show.
And the concept is also very fun because it takes place in the city of Milwaukee. And as an audience member, it sounds really exciting because you're also able to wander around the space. So in a traditional theater, a lot of times you sit down and you observe, you focus. But in this piece, you can wander around. You can walk around and explore and pay attention to an object and that it's placed in there, or you can follow an actor and just observe their interactions. So I think from an audience member perspective, it's exciting, you know.
One of the things that comes to mind is if you have audience moving relatively freely in there, that's going to change performances too, because that's another element that gets thrown in at the last minute that you haven't been doing. Have you been using other actors to kind of simulate that, or is that just going to be something that happens, you know?
There have been plenty of times in a moment of improvisation where some of the actors have used my presence in the space to sort of bounce those improvised moments off of. And for some of the actors, in those moments of improvisation with the audience, you know, we have some ideas about what could be there. But it, you know, that's one of the treasures of live performance in this way.
Yeah, so you're going to really have that the audience truly is the other character.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and they're actually some of the tickets we sell are called item tickets, which are participatory items that are integral to the story. You come in and you get an item. We hand you an item, and one of the actors is going to need that for the story to continue. So they have to find you in the space and get that item for you, and you have to interact in some cases. You just have to give it to them in other ones. They have to find other people. So they're searching for these people within the audience members to find who has the item they need for the next section.
Oh, that's very cool. That is a great, great idea. I love that. I love that because, you know, it's always going to be different. Every single time, because that person's going to – whoever's got that item is going to be a different person.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's part of the loop. I mean, the fact that we perform it the shows sort of loop every hour, but you can come in at any point you want. So and leave at any point you want, really. If you have an item, we ask that you stay for the hour so we can,
so we can do the
to get
play.
The item.
Yeah,
but
right.
Those are sort of pre-sold anyway, so that's part of the idea. But other than that, it is absolutely – these people are integral. And if – you're from Milwaukee, you're from this area, you know this city, even if you're visiting from out of town and have some idea of what Milwaukee is like, you will see that replicated and you are part of it. So the audience becomes the other characters, and it's integral to how we design the show and how – because we want it to be about this city specifically.
Exactly, yeah. And also the connection, you know, the connection with the people that are around us. And sometimes we are in the city and not necessarily think about things that are around us or the connections that we have with everyone. And I think the show allows us to experience some of that interaction and the connections and the things that are all around us that not necessarily we're so aware of it at times. And I think that the show definitely brings that aspect, and it's fun.
Yeah, and kind of having to be aware
exactly.
In a way that we often aren't. Yeah.
Yes, especially with technology nowadays, you know, phones, you know.
Everyone's buried in their phone. Yeah.
Yeah.
You said this is the first time you've worked with Neil.
Correct.
Will you do it again?
Absolutely. I'm waiting for the next piece. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So this has not put you off to
doing this
kind of theater.
No. On the contrary, I mean, I finished an improv program in Chicago at the Second City, and it allowed me to use a lot of my skills, which have been improvisation, voice work, and my voice has been listened. And I think from an artist's perspective, it's a really great thing to have someone encourage you to talk and to listen. So I would love to be a part of it again.
And fly for you. Same thing.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I think that I've done devised work before, and it's sort of the nature of devising that when you go into it, you don't know what is going to come out on the other side. And it's a treasure in that way. And it's always exciting to not know, I think. And I think it takes a special kind of artist to be willing to go up against that and to embrace those challenges of not necessarily knowing what the finished product is going to be. But Neil is definitely someone who's game for that challenge. And he managed to find a group of artists working on this specific project who I would definitely work with everyone again.
All right. Ooh. Well, Neil, there you go.
Well, thank you. Glad to hear it. You don't always get that information.
No, and usually, you know, usually people just kind of wander off. It's like, no, I'm never going to do that. never. But, well, best of luck with this. And I hope you'll come back and tell us more about projects as they go on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
And don't forget to check out the show.
Neil Easterling is founder of the group Cooperative Performance Milwaukee and director of the production MKE Carries, which opens tonight in the Third Ward. Fly Steffens is the playwright, and Juan Blasquez is one of the performers. They spoke with Bonnie North, and you can learn more about the play and the group from a link at WUWM.com. And with that, we wrap up another week's worth of Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Teich. We are produced by a team that also includes Bonnie North, Dan Harmon, and the newest full-time member of our cast, Audrey Nowakowski. We get production assistance this week from Claire Mosley, web support from Michelle Matternowski, and studio engineering from John Strelecki. Enjoy what promises to be a beautiful spring weekend, and I hope we will be a part of it. Lake Effect Weekend is tomorrow and Sunday afternoon at 3 on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh Air is next. It's 11 o'clock.